Last week, for those that were or were not here, John Kapobris led us in a discussion. It was about Jesus, and it was specifically about him being human. He gave lots of different aspects of him being human, and I think he gave us a little bit of the importance of Jesus coming as a human being. But I have a question regarding that. How important is it that we believe that Jesus came as a human? How important is that? We know that he came and he lived just as we do. He was born. He didn't know everything from the beginning. We saw that he grew in grace and knowledge. We see that he then didn't have a place to sleep, didn't have a place to lay his head. We see that he had to eat. We saw that he could be in agony. And we finally saw that he could die. Did all that have to be? How important was that? Okay, and as Jerry said, what did you say, Jerry? It was fundamental. Okay. It is fundamental. I put one verse or one set of verses there from 1 John. And I think this touches on how important it is that Jesus came as a human being. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. And I think you can read into that. Does not acknowledge Jesus came in the flesh is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So if we can't grasp what John was saying last week, if we can't accept that, then we have problems. And so I think we need to grasp that first. Today we're going to talk about his deity. What does deity mean?
Divine.
Divine? Okay. What does divine mean?
He was God.
He was God. Is that what you were going to say too? Godhood. Okay. This is from a dictionary that's online. The essential nature or condition of being a god or divinity. In your outline, it's capitalized, which is the B part there. Capitalized deity means God, the God that we know. And as Kirby said, divinity or divine. Jesus is divine nature as opposed to his human nature. So we're going to talk today not about him being human. Not that it's not important, just that John covered that last week. We're going to talk about Jesus being God. And I checked this in multiple dictionaries, and it's exactly the same. How many times do you find the word deity in the Bible? And lots, little, none. What's that? Okay, deity's not there. That means Kirby's not reading out of the NIV. If he read out of the King James, New King James, it's not there. But it is there once in the NIV. By the way, I don't have the word NIV up there every time. But all the verses that I'm going to put up there today are from the New International Version. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. All the fullness of the deity. If you look in the King James, it's the Godhead. And that's essentially what it means, Godhead, divinity, all the fullness. And this is in context now. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Now that that takes his God form and his body form and puts it together. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. I want to do that. Yeah, that's fine. Before we get to that question, kind of ignore that for now. Who is referred to as the Son of Man? Jesus. Who is referred to as the Son of Man also? There's somebody else that was actually referred to more than Ezekiel. Okay, basically two people in the Bible. Ezekiel in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament. So if you look at Son of Man, that doesn't say much about his being from God. Who is called Son of God? What's that, Bob? Okay, Jesus or the Word? The Son of God is only given to Jesus. That's reserved for Jesus himself. He is the Son of God. We're going to get to that a little bit later because that means something. The Son of God means something in what we're talking about today about the deity of Jesus. Should the Jews have been looking for God as their Messiah? Let's back up a little bit. Were they looking for a Messiah? Okay, universally, the Jews were looking for a Messiah. The Jews now, the non-Christian Jews, are still looking for a Messiah. Should they have been looking for God as their Messiah? I heard a no. Does anybody have backing for a yes or a no? Okay, it is used in prophecies. We're talking about Jesus. What's that?
Son of Man.
So is Son of Man. Okay. Anybody think of a prophecy that would lead you to believe? So let's say that Jesus hadn't come yet. Let's say we're a modern day Jew. Can anybody think of a prophecy that would tell you that when you do have a Messiah, that he will not actually be a human, he won't be just a human, but that he will be God on earth? Isaiah 9:6, is that the next? Isaiah 9:6, and Bob is not a plant in the audience either. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and they understood this, and they understand this to be their Messiah. The modern day Jews don't put Jesus as the result of this, is the only difference. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is in there, and Everlasting Father is in there. Those would point directly to deity, something other than some human coming down and being their Savior. I think somebody over here had another one, Janice. Okay, and that was Daniel.
When Jesus referred
to
himself.
Daniel 7:13-14. Referring to Jesus in all the prophecy talking about the Son of Man. I've got another one up there. Does anyone have another one that they want to throw out there? Okay, let me put one more up there. One that you usually would turn to just to see that Jesus was born of a virgin, to see that that was prophesied, but it also says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now why did I put that up there?
God with us.
God with us. We sang a song this morning, a little different spelling with the word of the name there, but the same thing. Emmanuel is God with us. Jesus was given that name, God with us. And they should see that more than just God is with that person. It's more that God is now with us. Okay. Anybody have the answer? Okay. Was Jesus God? Well, somebody has already referred to John 1, so otherwise I would not put it up there. Yeah. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, it is capitalized here, and it's not by accident, because if you read through the first chapter of John, which we're not going to go through, but I'll put one more verse up there for it. If you go through that, it is spelled out that the Word is the one that came and became flesh, the one that they were talking about, Jesus of Nazareth. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, or in King James, only begotten, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was God. Jesus claims to be God, and we're going to see that through several of the verses that I'm going to bring up today. There was no doubt by the end that Jesus was claiming to be God. Question is, in our minds, was He God? And I want to know, I asked the question at the beginning, how important is it that we believe that Jesus came in the flesh? What importance is there on whether He was God or not? We had God send a sacrifice. Could it not have been Jesus, the fleshly man, who lived a sinless life, did exactly what God told him to do, and paid the ultimate price of being crucified for us? He was the Lamb of God. Could He have been that without being God? What are your thoughts? Okay, the answer is no. Why? Why not? What's that? He would have had sin. So my premise is wrong, is that he could not have, there could not have been a Jesus of Nazareth that did not sin, that unless He was God. And therefore could not have been a perfect sacrifice, and God couldn't take one with spot. Okay? So that's reasoning through it. Okay, Steve said that it's based on the love of God. God wouldn't be showing His love to us if He had somebody else. I mean, He had to take part of Him. He had to have something that was so near and dear to Him that it was a sacrifice. You don't go, in the old law, you don't go and take somebody else's bull and go sacrifice it, even if it's without spot. It's your own. Stephen was a martyr. Stephen could have been God's sacrifice. But no, that wouldn't have worked. It wasn't something from Him. Any other ideas on that? Genesis.
Back in Genesis, where Abraham and God were making the covenant, and God had Abraham split the animals in half, the way the covenants were done in those days was that the weaker member of the covenant would walk that blood path, and that would be their way of saying, I don't keep my part of the covenant, this is what can be done to me. I can be split in half and my blood flow. But rather than God having Abraham do that, Abraham saw the fire pass between the sliced up animal and go down that blood path. And that was God saying at that point, I know you're not going to be able to keep your part of the bargain, but I will pay the price. And so from Abraham on down, or at least as early as at the time of Abraham, Jesus said, or God had promised that He Himself would pay the price, and that price was Jesus. So if it had been a man and not God's son, that would have made God a liar.
Okay. God had to do His part, and His part had to be something sinless, and He knew from the beginning, He actually knew man couldn't do it, that He had to step in and do it. Any other points of view? Dad?
Be something of transition from the physical of Israel to the spiritual of the new kingdom.
Okay. And that goes back to Hebrews is one of the places that you would go to, and you show the difference between the old and the new, and it had to be something special to do away with all those physical sacrifices, and that's something special. Only thing that could be special enough was the blood of the Son of God. Kirby.
Yeah, I think he's alluding to the priesthood function of Jesus as a mediator between us and God.
Okay. So now we're going at a little bit different angle now. Yeah, in order for us to be able to get to God, we have to have a priest. That started from the beginning, that God didn't talk to all the people. The priests were in between there, especially the high priest. And then you go through Hebrews, and you can see that Jesus became our high priest because he had sinless blood, and his blood could take away the sins once and for all. Any others? David.
Well, Hebrews 5. Verses are all about this very subject. Okay, you're a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and as a son, you had to learn obedience, and it just wraps it all up in those 9 verses.
Okay, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Let me read from Hebrews 5. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Is there more that you want me to read after that?
Well, just the fact that verse 8 says, "Although he was a son, he learned obedience."
Okay, good.
"And what he suffered." And that's, again, he had to be the Son of God, but he had to learn obedience.
That ties them both together. The sacrifice as a human and as being the priest after the order of Melchizedek forever. Any other slants on this? This is toward the end of the book of John, and he's talking about that there's lots of things that Jesus did that aren't written in the book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It's important that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, and we're going to have to get into, does the Christ then mean that he is from God, that he is God? But it is, and we'll get to that. But if we can accept that Jesus, that being the Christ, it means that he is God, or that being the Son of God means that he is God, then that's how we have life. We can't have life without that. John wrote these things so that we would know that Jesus was deity, and that by knowing that, it would guide us into having life, that we may have life. I didn't say what verse that was. Okay, John 20 and 31 was the one I just read. 1 John 2:22. "Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son." You can't have the Father without the Son. Not that any of us would try to do that, but there are many people that do. Can't have the Father without the Son. How about when Jesus was here? Did anybody understand Jesus to claim that he was God? He claimed that he was a good man. Did anybody understand that he claimed to be God? Okay, the ones who crucified him did. They crucified him, and that was the grounds on the crucifixion, that he claimed to be God. Do I have that one? I think that's in there somewhere. Anybody else? Did Jesus claim to be God? Can you remember a time that he did? Dad?
He didn't specifically say he
claimed that he did not, but when he was talking to his disciples, he told them that if they had seen him, they had seen the Father.
If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They say, show us the Father. You don't understand. You've seen the Father if you've seen me. Janice? Okay. That is John 8:57. Jerry.
Let's go back to the definition of deity through Jesus.
Okay.
In your definition, the first one was deity is a God.
Okay.
Deity, we know there's only one God.
Right. Right.
We can't look at deity as just a God. We can't look at Christ as just a son of God.
The way we see it, yes, it has to be the son of the God, because we know the God, and he has only begotten son, one and only son, depending on how you want to look at it. Let me go back to Genesis, and then I've got three hands back there. Was that the right verses that you were talking about? let me read those since I'm on the mic. In John 8:57-59, it says, Jesus has been talking to the people that are always nagging him about things, and he said something about knowing Abraham. They said, you are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, and then this points to the fact that they understood this. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. They understood that Jesus was saying, I am God. I am forever. Now, the hands that I have seen were Fred, my dad, Kirby, and now Dan. So we'll go in that order if I can remember. Fred. Okay. Okay, Matthew 16. We'll start with verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? He calls himself the Son of Man. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Well, what about you? He asked, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. I wanted to keep that a secret a little bit longer, but he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Dad.
Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 63. Jesus testified under oath before God that he was Christ, the Son of God.
The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. That's his question. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Blasphemy. And I think specifically, blasphemy is speaking against somebody or something, and specifically they were talking about God. That was what the blasphemy would have been. Kirby.
Yeah, Jerry was mentioning the intertwining of the Godhead, and it's known to us as a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And it's important that we pick up on Isaiah 9:6 when it calls him Everlasting Father. Whenever he's asked about his authority, he always points to his Father. And every time you go to the Father, he says, well, you have to talk to my Son.
Right.
My Son has to say about that. Because he's given that authority to the Son. And he acts in the role of the Father. That Ancient of Days in Isaiah 9:6, in the King James, it's called Ancient of Days. That's the one of the Godhead that we call the Word, the Son of God.
Very good.
So Jerry's right on target.
Right. Dan Green.
Yeah, I would say comment about at the crucifixion and trial, it was that statement that actually got him crucified. Because if you look before, they had a lot of accusations, but they couldn't establish anything.
Nothing.
It was that statement that eventually killed him.
Nothing was going to stick. They asked him the question that they knew would stick if he would answer it. And he didn't back down. He said, essentially, he said, I'm God. That's what he said. And they couldn't handle that. Kimber.
With certain religious groups, that their translation is God one and one.
With a God.
He was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was a God.
And there's no grounds for that. And there's so many other places that we can turn. And what she's saying is that there are translations of the Bible that people have made specifically for themselves that say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, rather than the Word was God.
And it's a classic mistranslation. It's not in the Greek.
And it's a transparent trying to get rid of the deity of Jesus. And I'm trying to say today, that's not acceptable.
And it's tricky because the same group will say that Jesus is the Son of God. It's sort of get around it. So it's especially if you don't know what
they're. They don't really. I haven't talked enough with them lately to see. They don't seem to close the loop really and say if you can't be the son of the God without being God. Grant, I think you waved. Nobody else says that. John 14:1, you believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in me in the same way as you believe in God. What's that? Yeah, it is a good point. Let's see where I am on this. John 5:18, somebody understood. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, he had just healed somebody on the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. His enemies understood when he said something that made him equal with God, that was saying he was God. That calling God his own Father is making him equal with God, saying that he is God. Anything else on that one? What did Jesus do that would make people think that he was God? Now, he said some things. Did he do anything?
Rose from the dead.
Did he do that?
Yes.
Okay. Now that wouldn't make me think he was God. We'll get to that. But it would make me know he was God at that point. Lazarus rose from the dead. There was a difference there. We can talk about that in a little bit. Leon.
Well, his works, of course. And he spoke with authority when he spoke of the scriptures.
Spoke with authority.
Of the scriptures. You were mentioning before about people were thinking that he was this prophet or that prophet. But when we look at what's the difference between Christ and the prophets, number one, he was one of a virgin. Number two, he understood what he was talking about. And they often didn't.
Okay.
So, and yet, he emptied himself. So he humbled himself. To the point that once he was asked a question, he was called good master, and said, why do you call me good? For only the Father is good. So he had a complete understanding of all the things in the Father.
Okay. His teaching was not the teaching of the Pharisees or anybody else that they saw, because he taught with authority. He knew what he was talking about. His words actually were from God. Let me give it to Greg and then Fred.
He forgave sin.
That's a big one. And I may have that verse, some verses up there. Yeah, I do. Let me go to that. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy?" Now, once again, blasphemy, he's putting himself up with God. That's the blasphemy here. They understood this. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." That's John 5:20 through 26. We have seen remarkable things today. We've seen somebody that claims to forgive sins, who says, "Well, would God let me," basically saying, "Would God allow me to heal this man if I can't forgive sins? Which one's easier? I can say this or I can say this. I've said your sins are forgiven. But let me back that up and show you that not only can I do that, or I can show you that I can forgive sins because I can also take away his physical problem. I can heal him." Fred? Okay, and we'll get back to that one again. He conquered death. Now, he conquered death for others. He raised a few people. He raised at least a widow's son, or I think it was a widow's son, and Lazarus. What's that? And Jairus' daughter. So we know that Jesus had the power to raise people from the dead. We know that others have had that power. And there's a little bit of difference when you get down to what Jesus himself did when he raised. Jerry. Okay.
And that ties into this when they say, "Who can forgive sin?" He points to the man with all of these sins.
Okay.
They
understood that. The Jews did tie that in. They asked Jesus questions at some point where a man was healed of his blindness and said, "Was it that man?" Or Jesus said, "Was it that man's sin or was it his parents?" Was it Jesus that said that? Can anybody help me out with that? That was their thought anyway.
Apart from our afflictions, we don't tie the two together.
They tied them together. They said, if you got a problem, it was brought on by you, your sins. Okay, and so at this point, when Jesus is about to heal somebody and he first says, "Your sins are forgiven," he's taking care of the real important part, and to them, probably the source of the problem. Then he takes away the problem that they saw. Ken? Okay, can you read that for me? Well, if I can get to it, I'll read it since I'm on the mic here. John 9 and 2. Okay, they asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus' response was, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." And I don't think he was saying they were free from sin. But what he was trying to say was, divorce those two things. The man's blind, but the sin, any sin that he had was no cause of that. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. There's a purpose for things. And at that point, Jesus was saying, the purpose of this man being blind was that you'd see that I can heal blindness. Anything else on that one? Okay, let's talk about a little bit about the gospel. Now, a couple people have referred to some of this. What is the gospel? Good news, okay? And it ended up being connected with Christianity. The word gospel is not definitely, you know, it's not a Christian thing, but it has become to be a Christian thing because it's specifically some kind of good news. And what's that good news? What's that? Somebody over here.
That we can share in the
Christ. Okay. If you we've talked a little bit about 1 Corinthians 15 this week, and if you read through there, some people thought that there was no resurrection of the dead. And then Paul reasons with them. He says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. And if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, there's a problem there. The gospel was, he said, that Jesus came on earth as a man. He came and died for our sins, and that he was resurrected. That's the good news in a real small nutshell. That Jesus came to take away our sins, and part of that is raising from the dead. What is the gospel if Jesus is not God? We're talking about his deity. What is the gospel if Jesus is not God? 1 Corinthians 15 would kind of answer that. We are all men to be pitied most miserable, if Jesus is not God. And I'm equating now Jesus being God with raising from the dead. Could Jesus be completely human and still raised from the dead? Let's talk about that. Could Jesus be completely human and raised from the dead? Okay. There's not a whole lot of people saying anything, because the answer is yes and no. Yes or no. Either one is right, depending on how you're looking at it. Jenna says yes, and she says yes because we know of several that did raise from the dead. They were risen from the dead. Why would I say that the answer could be no? John says because they die again. They were raised from the dead. I saw a hand in the very back. Is it dead?
It may be a technicality, but the Spirit of God actually raised Jesus from the dead. And I think that is significant, because in a lot of the verses that we have, if it's really one of the Godhead that is being addressed.
Okay. One of the Godhead was what the power was that raised him. And there's a difference there. Like John said, there were people that were raised from the dead by somebody else, some human being, through God's power, but they had to die again. We don't see anybody that was raised from the dead and was able to walk around and then be taken up to the Father without ever dying again. There's more to it than that, I think. Okay. Where did he go afterwards? He didn't go to be with God. He went to be with God, sitting right on his right hand. He's been put above everyone. I think there's still more to it. What's that? Okay, we have Enoch. He didn't die. So there must be something different between Enoch and Jesus. Enoch didn't have to die. That seems even better, doesn't it? Except for that we miss out on a sacrifice there that takes away our sins. But why would Jesus have to be God? What's different about his resurrection? Grant. Okay, that is one big difference. Jesus had the power to lay his life down, and he had the power to take it up again. Lazarus died of being sick. The only reason he came back to life was because Jesus was on earth. Jesus had the power of God and raised him. The reason that Jesus was able to raise was because he was in control. Jesus was in control the whole time. He didn't have to die. He was in that kind of control. What's that? The verse that Grant read was in Romans 4, 1 and 4. Romans 1 and 4. Anything else on that? Could Jesus be completely human and still raise from the dead? Well, I guess the answer would be yes, that he could. But the answer I'm really looking for is no. It couldn't have been quite, it wouldn't have been the same. Dan?
I wondered if the question would be different if it said, could Jesus be only human and still raised from the dead?
Okay.
Because he was completely human and rose from the dead because he was completely human and completely God.
Okay.
But if he was only human, he could not have fulfilled the sacrifice necessary.
Yeah, to be the sacrifice, yeah, definitely he had to be God. God couldn't give us something else, but he had to give of himself. Let me read to you, and you guys are going to be very familiar with this, in John 20. This is when Thomas sees God, sees Jesus, sees him as God. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples, except Thomas. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." That was his response when he saw Jesus alive. Jesus was dead of crucifixion. He was not a pretty thing. And what killed him 3 days ago, the scars were still there. And yet he was walking around. And Thomas knew that the only way that this could happen is if he was God. They weren't calling him God before. They were calling him Master. They were calling him Rabbi. They called him by his name. But they weren't calling him God. But Thomas understood the significance. And that's what made it so hard for him to believe that Jesus was alive. Not that he didn't believe in Jesus. He followed him for 3 years. Did whatever Jesus said to do. Saw all of his miracles. There was no doubt in Thomas's mind that Jesus was a man from God, that he was something special, that he could talk with God. But when he saw that he rose from the dead, "My Lord and my God," is what he said. Eric?
Not the only person that saw his hands. In Luke, the 24th chapter, the two men that were on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were restrained so that they didn't know him. It says whenever he blessed the bread and broke it in front of them, I imagine they saw his hands. Saw the nails and the nail scars there as well. And then right immediately after, we have the account of Thomas and Luke.
Okay. Is that Luke 24, you say?
Yeah.
So the two disciples walking with Jesus, and Jesus is eating with them now. They do see the hands, but like you say, their minds had been clouded by God in some way to where they didn't understand that that was Jesus. Janice? John 2:19, when Jesus said, "Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days." I don't think the disciples understood this. Who did understand that?
But nobody else who died and rose again predicted it.
Okay, he predicted it. He predicted his death. And he predicted his resurrection. Who understood that? I said his disciples didn't. Somebody understood that. The Pharisees, I think it was, that went to Pilate and said, "This man predicted he's going to come back in 3 days." And this is how he predicted it. He's going to come back in 3 days. So they understood that he predicted it. I think we've talked enough about what does this mean to us, but we're kind of out of time. And are there a couple little comments here that, what does this mean to us, that Jesus is God, besides the word everything? And that you can't, that's basically it, is that we being here, we following Jesus, would not, it is nothing if it weren't for Jesus being God. Steve?
Because looking for that blessed hope
Okay. That's what it means to us. The gospel is nothing without Jesus being God. Yes. Okay, so it means our reaction should be that we live for Him. And whatever that requires for us to live for Him, including being willing to die, which many have done. Grant.
One of the things, too, says that when Christ returns, He won't return and God will be returned as the Son of Man.
You see the Son of Man returning in the clouds. Okay. Yeah, I don't know exactly what that means, what we're going to see. Jesus is the only character in the Bible, he's the central character in the Bible. He is God's sacrifice for us, and He is part of God. He had to be a sacrifice, to be a true sacrifice from God. What that means to us is that our sins could not be forgiven if Jesus had not come, if Jesus as the Son of God, as God Himself, had not come, we'd be in our sins. That's what it means to us. It is of the highest importance that we understand that Jesus is God. It's very important that we understand that Jesus is human too. Jesus was human. But I could even minimize that a little bit by saying it's got to be more important. It's got to be that Jesus is God. And that's the end of this session, but what I'm going to do, we're going to close with a prayer, and I will bring a microphone back. Let's all bow our heads and go to our Father in prayer.
Our Father, it is again so humbling to open Your Word and relearn and study more about what You would have for us, especially humbling to know that You created us, yet we needed to be saved, and You were willing to send Your Son, and He was willing to die. Help us as we open the Scriptures ourselves, read more for ourselves, and each Lord's Day surround the remembrance of His sacrifice. Help us to continue to want to live our lives through His example for You. Please be with us in the rest of this service that we continue to praise and glorify You in all that we say and do. In Your Son Jesus' name, amen.